This week, we are fortunate, we have two parashios. Parashas Acharemos and Parashas Kedosh. So let me share with you a few ideas on each parasha. Let's begin with Acharemos. Let's begin with a short idea. Last week, we discussed the concept of Din V'cheshbon. A person, according to the Gemara, explains when a person comes to Shemayim Achmev Yashem, he gives Din V'cheshbon. What is the difference between Din and Cheshbon? The Gemara explains, Din is accountability for sin. The person has committed a sin, he's punished. He has to pay the price. He's accountable. Cheshbon, calculation, is a judgment. What you could have done with the time if you would not have sinned, look at what you could have done. You could have accomplished other great things. It's not just that you committed a terrible sin. You've wasted your time. You have squandered an opportunity. The time that you were involved in committing a sin could have been used to do something productive. For that, you also need atonement. You also have to give judgment. This idea, Din V'cheshbon, we discussed last week in regard to the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah brings two birds. One bird is slaughtered, one bird is allowed to live and to fly away. One bird represents an atonement for the Lashon Hara, and the other bird that's allowed to continue to chirp is an atonement for what he could have, the good words of Torah, or the good words of Chizuk or Tefillah, that he could have been involved with at the time when he was busy speaking Lashon Hara. So here, I want to suggest, now, the Ayin Panim Torah, we have a very difficult parasha, Acharemos, the parasha of the Avod of Yom HaKippurim. They are twin Seirim, not twins, but they look alike, and there is a girl. One Sohir is, whose blood is sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the other Sohir is sent La'azazel. But the Yad Ish Iti HaNagara, the Kohen Gadol confesses the sins of Klal Yisrael, and it's sent away, it's thrown off a cliff. Why is there a need for two Seirim? One, so I want to suggest that the Seir LaHashem is Mechaper on the actual sins. Now, of course, we know the Gemara, it's a complex Gemara, that really the Seir LaHashem is Mechaper on Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, it's Mechaper on holy sins. And the Seir LaZazel is Mechaper on just about everything else, all the sins. But let's for a moment put that aside. Okay, I am Panam LaTorah. The Soyer LaHashem is Mechaper on sin. It's a kapara, just like all of the Korbanos are Mechaper on sin. It's not only the Soyer. You have the Chatos, and you have it's Rosh Chodesh, and you have the Musafim. There are many Korbanos that are offered on Yom HaKippurim that are Mechaper on Chet. And certainly the Soyer LaHashem that goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is Mechaper on Chet. But during the time when the person was involved in sinning, he could have been involved in doing Maisim Tovim. He needs a kapara for the cheshbon. That's the Sor LaZazel. The Sor LaZazel, you can't bring the Sor LaZazel in the Kodesh HaKadoshim because there was no sin. What you could have accomplished is not something that you can put your finger on and say, I need a karbon. A karbon is offered for something which, an act that you have done. So here's the karpan, we bring it in, so we slaughter it, we makabal the dam, we do zrika, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's atonement. But what I could, the lost opportunity, that's not something that you can actually bring inside the Beis HaMikdash. That's why this has to take the form of it being sent outside the Beis HaMikdash and be thrown off a cliff. Now to prove this point, I think there's a very interesting dig in the pasuk. The pasuk says with regard to the Sola Zazel, that Yo Amad Chai, it shall stand alone in the midst. After the Kohen does the vidui, he makes the goyol. So it says in the pasuk that the Sor LaHashem, he start the process, take it and slaughter it, the Kabbalah, and so on and so forth, together with the power of the Kohen Gadol. But the Sohir LaZazel, wait, hold off. Wait until we're finished with the Sor LaHashem. In the meantime, Yo'amad Chai. Let it stand alive in the holding, a holding pattern, until we're ready to work with it, to deal with it, and send it off the cliff at a later point in time on this day. What is this unique expression, Yo'amad Chai? Torah does not spare words. Torah could have very easily written something much simpler or not even have said the words Yom HaTchai? Why does the Torah emphasize that the Soher La'azazel is something which now is Yom HaTchai, is standing alive? There's a famous pasuk. The pasuk says, Nasati l'cha mahalchem bein ho'im dimo'ele. Says to the Navi, I will give you mahalchem. I will give you the ability when you come to Shemayim, you come to heaven. Okay, a different interpretation of what the pasuk means. Of Nasati mahalchem bein ho'im dimo'ele, according to one interpretation, the oimdim refer to the malachim. The malachim do not have feet. They have a regular yeshara. They don't have two legs. A malach has a single leg. Doesn't have the ability to walk, to move. There is no mobility. The mobility is through the wings, through ruach. It doesn't have the koyach of hoylocha, the ability to walk. A human being is called a hoylich. A human being has the ability to move, mobility. The 2 feet, you can move, you can go from one part of the world to another part of the world. The pasuk says that a human being relative to a malach is called a hoylich. V'nosati l'cha mehalchim, I will give you the ability to mobility, bein among ha'oimdim, the malachim, which do not have the ability to move, who are stationary. The maila a human being has over a malach is a person can go higher and higher in kedusha. A malach stagnant. A malach is created with a certain degree of kedusha, and that's it. That's it. There's no room for growth. A malach, whatever it is, it is. A human being can go up and down. If he's zocha, Torah mitzvos, he goes up in kedusha. He's a mahalach. If he's not zocha, chas v'shalom, he can go down. There's no such thing as a parvayid. No such thing. You can't stay in one location. Either going up or you're going down. Mahalachim in oinim o'ela. When a person sins, not only did he sin, he lost an opportunity. He squandered the opportunity to be a hoylech, to go higher. I wasted my time doing something foolish. With this time, I could have done something productive. I could have been a mahalich, a hoylich. Instead, I chose Yom HaTchai, to remain where I was. It's not only remain where I was. I went down. I committed a sin. I've gone down. So as far as the sin is concerned, we have the Soher LaHashem. The Soher LaHashem will atone. But I didn't go higher. Fine, we'll atone for the sin. We'll bring you up from the depths. But that's not going to take away the fact that you lost out on the opportunity of going higher. Therefore, so you remained in Omei. The best we can do with the atonement is just to restore you to where you were before. But you lost the opportunity to go higher. That is why we need the Soher La'azazel to the Mechaper on the lost opportunity. And that's why it's called Yom HaTchai. Because this is what the person has done to himself with his sin. He also remained stagnant. He did not go further. Okay, that's one idea. We'll go to another idea. This week's parasha is a very big mystery. This mystery comes from one of the Rishonim, one of the early Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, he says something which has attracted the attention of all of the Rishonim which came after him, not all, but many Rishonim, and all of the Darshanim. Everyone wants a hand in figuring out the mystery of the Ibn Ezra. What does the Ibn Ezra say? Let me read you these words. I'll read you the words of the Ibn Ezra, if I can find it. It's Perek Tes Zayin. I think it's Pasuk Ches. When we discuss the Soher La'azazel. You familiar with this, Ibn Ezra? Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Okay, so you must look at this Ibn Ezra and look at what all the Rishonim say. Okay, there's something called the Ibn Ezra, something called the Avi Ezer. The Avi Ezer is a parish on the Ibn Ezra. But Ibn Ezra Pasuk Ches discusses this. Ibn Ezra Derfal is very short, very concise, doesn't spare words. But yet he's marach when he describes the Soher La'azazel. Trying to find it. Okay, here it is. Okay, he says a lot of things about the Soher. What exactly is Azazel? Only thing I want to point out at the very end, he says, Keda Sodo Visod Shemo Kiyesh Lechavem B'mikra. He talks about, you have to see it inside. In Perek Tezayin Pasuk Ches, all different interpretations of what is the significance of sending off this animal off the cliff to Azazel. And then at the end he says, V'ani agal l'choktsas hasoid. It's a very big secret. It's a very big mystery. This idea of throwing an animal off a cliff on Yom Kippur to bring atonement. Very esoteric, mysterious. But I'll tell you the secret. V'ani agal l'choktsas. Not the entire secret, just a little bit hasod. Beremez. The hint. B'yoscha, when you will be, ben shloshim v'shalosh, when you will be 33, teidoenu, you will understand what it's all about. So Rishayim don't talk like this. They don't write like this. Rishayim, when you're 33, you'll know what it's all about. What in the world does this mean?
You
don't need my bone, do you? What? That's what I want to say. I want to say it's a remnant to Lag Ba'om. That's what I want to say. Everyone seems to have fun with this Ibn Ezra. Even the Ramban. The Ramban discusses, and here on the bottom, Avi Ezra, there's a parish in the Ramban, Ibn Ezra explains, what does this mean over here? Hamafarshim Dibra, reading you from the Avi Ezra. Look in the Mikros Gedolos on this pasuk, and look in the Avi Ezra. Below the Ibn Ezra, Hamafarshim Dibu Harbe B'inyan Hasod Shakosav Haraf. What does it mean when he said B'yoscha Ben Shloshim V'Shalosh Teido Enu Uladati? So right away, the one who wrote this, I'll tell you what it means. Neri Haremes Kuel Bilam Shechai Lamed Gimel Shanim. Okay, so he has an interpretation that refers to Bilam Harasha. Bilam, we have a tradition that Bilam lived only for 33 years. He has an whole approach. He ties in the Sola Zazel to Bilam. Okay, whatever. That's not what I want to discuss. I saw other Mepharshim, they explain it refers to Galed. Lavan. Lavan made a treaty with Yaakov Avinu. They built a monument. Galed. Gal is 33. Gimel Lamed. 8. It's really a composite of two words. This mound, this monument shall be an aid, shall serve as a testimony that we have made a treaty, we're not going to kill each other. So he says that the sod of what he's referring to, you have to go look back at Yaakov Avinu, look at Lavan. Yaakov, then you'll understand what the whole purpose of setting the sod is. That's one interpret. There's another approach. Another beautiful approach I saw, this is a famous chazal, that Yaakov Avinu was meant to live 180 years, like his father Yitzchak. However, he only lived 147 years. Why? Because he complained. When Paro, he was taken to Paro's chamber, Paro asked him, how old are you? So he said whatever his age was, and then he says, Ma'at Viro'im. He complained. It's not for Yaakov to come. Chazal criticized Yaakov. What are you complaining? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind to you. He saved you from all the tzaras, and here you're in Mitzrayim, you survived, your family survived, 12 Shvatim. I saved you from Lavan, I saved you from Dina, I saved you from Esav, and you have Parnassah, you're in Mitzrayim, you're thriving. What are you complaining about? Ma'at Viro'im, how many words are there in that pasuk where Yaakov Avinu complained? That pasuk, there are 33 words. There are 33 words. Memela, he lost from his life 33 years. He died 33 years prematurely. So they wanted to tie that together with. I saw this in Matas Bloom, his sefer. Matas Bloom's sefer is called Torah Ladas. So he says that Esav was meant to die. Esav, he was Rivka said a nevuah that Lama Eshkol Shneichem. Why should both of you die? There was a tradition. There was a tradition that Esav and Yaakov died the same day. So if Yaakov was meant to die, live 180 years, Esav would have lived 180 years. But because Yaakov sinned, the male that schlepped down, that dragged down, Esav also died prematurely. So there's significance in that. There is significance. There's obviously great significance in the fact that Yaakov died prematurely, 33 years prematurely. Had he lived another 33 years, who knows, it could have been a different world. What he could have accomplished. We have no idea. What a great person can accomplish in one day, certainly in 33 years. There's also significance that because Yaakov had to die 33 years earlier, Mamela, Esav had to die. Esav died the same day that Yaakov died. We know the Medrash. Esav was protesting not to allow Yaakov to be buried in the Maris Machpelah, so someone came along and beheaded Esav. So there's significance. That's the Sor la'Azazel. Thorn of the Cliff parallels the Sor la'Hashem. Sor la'Hashem is Yaakov. The Sor la'Azazel is Esau. It's a very beautiful approach. It's not the point I want to make, but if you look there in the Sefer Hodas, he also takes the number 33 there and applies. So everybody, a few ideas. Bilam is 33, and we have Yaakov in the 33 words, and we have Galeh. So I'll give you three Mari Makomos of the Sod of the Ibn Ezra. I want to suggest a drush. And the drush I want to suggest, it's not a complete package. It's a little bit raw, but it's something to think about. This week we know is Lag BaOmer. Okay, Lag BaOmer is obviously the 33rd day. Now all of these Kabbalistic inyanim, they all came to be long after the Ibn Ezra. I mean, I can't tell you exactly, but still there's something called Sri Asa Omer. There are 50 days, and the 33rd day, even though it's not been put in the sitter in time of the Ibn Ezra, that it's Lag BaOmer, it's Hod Shebahod, and the significance of Rashbi, these are modern day minhagim, which Lag BaOmer has become, not necessarily, because the Ibn Ezra, the Rishon, he lived as Rabbi Akiva, the tradition was to tell me to stop doing Lag BaOmer. I don't know exactly, but certainly there are roots in Lag BaOmer, even at the time of the Ibn Ezra, without question. It has to be something there as well. It has to be. Okay, so whatever the point is, there is a concept. What?
So you're saying that Lag BaOmer is a significant day, let's say, in the times of the...
Well, the Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva is telling them stop doing the Lag BaOmer, right? So that goes back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Tana. What? Rabbi Akiva is a Tana. So obviously Rashbi, if it is the Yom Hilul of Rashbi, which is not so clear, there's a lot of research to show that Lag BaOmer is not necessarily the day that Rashbi died. It's not so clear. Today, the average person, when you say Lag BaOmer, right away it's Rashbi, it's Yom Hilulah. Not necessarily. It's very nice. We focus on Rashbi, on Lag BaOmer. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a day, the essence of Rashbi is Lag BaOmer. It doesn't necessarily mean that he died in Lag BaOmer. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. That's a separate issue. So if it's Rashbi, so Rashbi is before Rabbi Akiva.
So he was a Talmud.
He was Talmud Rabbi Akiva. You're right. He's a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. So he's right. He's a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. Okay. But fine. But that's certainly. But that's certainly before the Ibn Ezra. So when the Ibn Ezra says 33, when the Ibn Ezra says 33, obviously there was a significant Lag BaOmer by the time of the Ibn Ezra. They didn't have Lag BaOmer parade. Okay, Lubavitch didn't exist then at the time of the Ibn Ezra. But certainly, the 33rd day of the Omer, I don't know if they had these Yehi at the time of the Ibn Ezra, that I should be Misakin Masha Bagamti B'Sfira Hoyt Sheva Hoyt. I don't know if the Ibn Ezra said that.
They have a meeting of not taking haircuts or getting married until Lag BaOmer.
I don't know what their customs were going back to the time of the Ibn Ezra. But one thing is for sure, it was a significant day. How it was celebrated, I don't know. But there's no question there was significance of Lag BaOmer in Islam. So when he says 33, it's a Jewish, what I'm saying. I'm saying it's probably nonsense, but there are a lot of things. People say a lot of Jewish on this Ibn Ezra. But there was a significance to Lag BaOmer in the time of the Ibn Ezra. That is a given.
I think I once heard that the Lag BaOmer is the day that the Mun first began to fall.
Correct. That's another very beautiful. Rashi, though, the fairish as it was. There's a Rashi. I once said this over, Barabim, this whole idea about the Mun began to fall, and someone comes over and he shows me the fairish of Rashi, I've forgotten the parish.
Yeah, Hashem Sofer is the one.
Different opinions, right. Different Rishonim. Right? But Rashi, the Sefer says, Rashi tells exactly when it started. It wasn't Lag BaOmer. Different Rishonim, different Mahalchim. So then, there are many approaches to the significance of Lag BaOmer. All I want to say at this moment in time is, when the Ibn Ezra is giving us a soul, when you'll come to date, when you'll come to 33, you will understand it. I want to sell Derech HaDrush, that perhaps the Ibn Ezra is referring to when you'll come to the 33rd day of the Omer, you'll get a taste of what is the significance of the Sor la'Azazel. And don't say to me, but at the time of the Ibn Ezra, there was no such thing as Lag BaOmer. There was a Lag BaOmer at the time of the Ibn Ezra. There was the Lag BaOmer Day Parade, but They didn't necessarily say the Hiratzon at the time of the Ibn Ezra, but the Makoros, the Kedusha, the why in the day of Lag BaOmer are certainly there. As Dr. Friedman said, the day when the Mon fell for the first time, or it was the day when Rashbi died, if he died, or at least it captures his essence on that day, or it was the day when the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva stopped dying. So there's no question that even the time of the Ibn Ezra, it was a very significant day. So what then is the a Jewish to explain the meaning of these words according to the Ibn Ezra? So we have to understand the following yisod. There is a very strong relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. Are you familiar with this idea?
Same
Purim and Lag BaOmer are very much related. How do we know this? The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. The Ramah gives all the simon of when the Chagim. We have At Bash and the simon when all the At Bash, the first day of Pesach, and so forth. The simon called Peleg, Pei Lam Yil, we had Palgim Ayin. Pei Lamed Gimel, the same day of the week in which Purim falls will be the day when Lag BaOmer falls. Peleg, it's a simon. It's put down in Shulchan Aruch. As Shulchan Aruch brings down a simon, Peleg, Pei Lamed Gimel, obviously there is a shaychus, there is a connection. I once said a Jewish, just like we count Sfira between Pesach and Shavuos, 7 times 7. 7 is the number which is Derech HaTeva. There's the number 8. 8 is Lamala Miderech HaTeva.
So about that by Brish,
There's another Sfira. 8 times 8. Just like when you count 7 times 7, Shivasayim, we had the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Shivasayim, that the Or HaCham will be 7 times 7. There's another concept of Lamala Miderech HaTeva. 8 times 8. What's 8 times 8? 64. How many days are there between Purim and Lag BaOmer? 64. So if you start counting Sfira from Purim, and you count 8 times 8,
we don't do this,
of course not. But under the hood, there is a connection. I just want to show you we're Muslim. I don't know what I'm saying, but I want to show you we're Muslim that there is a significant connection between Purim?
Force
Shulchan Aruch, it says Peleg. Peleg. The day of Purim is the same day of Lag BaOmer. Peleg. In the Beis HaMikdash, there are two different kelim. For the Chagim is Man Hazeh. There is the menorah and the Shulchan. The menorah is Chanukah. The Shulchan is Purim. Everyone says this. This is Torah. That everyone is masking to the star that the menorah is the aura of Chanukah and the Shulchan is Lechem. Lechem is Gashmis because the Haman tried to destroy our bodies. How many arrangements of bread are there on the Shulchan? 2 arrangements. One arrangement corresponds to Purim and the second arrangement corresponds to Lag BaOmer. There is a relationship between the two. Now, again, I'm not telling you complete ideas. I'm just telling you Mara Mekoymas. Here's the point I want to make to explain the Ibn Ezra. We have here on Yom Kippur, we have two animals, the Sor LaHashem and the Sor LaZazel. Very strange. One goes inside, one goes outside. One thing we know for sure as well is that there is a relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim. This is accepted by all. Kippurim, Yom HaKippurim, there's a goyrul on Yom Kippur, and there's a goyrul on Purim. The whole essence of Yom Kippur, the kohen he wears the big, his the kohen gadol, the kohen gadol, the one who wears the big shmona, and he goes lefnai v'lefnim, on Purim. Esther Hamalchus, the big day Malchus, the big day Avelus, back and forth, and Mordechai tells Esther, I have to go. The Chatzar HaPnimis, the Chatzar HaChitzayna, there is
really. Mordechai actually changed his clothes 5 times, just like the Kohen
Gadol. Mordechai changed his clothes 5 times, the Kohen Gadol. There's Malchus, and Malchus corresponds to the Malchus of Yom HaKippurim. I'm not going into the details. Purim is Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim. We're not going into details, but it's a given that there is a very strong relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim. All of the Rishonim explain many different facets of this relationship. The point I want to make is as follows. On Yom Kippur, there are 2 parts of the service. There is a service which is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lefnai v'lefnim. Sor LaHashem. Its counterpart, where does it go? To the desert. Out into the world. Not just the world, a cliff that goes and falls on a hard valley all the way down. It's like off the Grand Canyon, middle of nowhere. The ends of the earth, the Azazel represents the complete opposite of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the place of the Shekhinah. The Azazel, it's as if you fell off the earth. It's Ke'ilu, you're on another planet. You left the furthest ends of the earth. Farthest ends of the earth. This is the Sol Azazel. We have to break that up into two parts. When we break up, Purim corresponds to Yom HaKippurim. What exactly about Purim corresponds to Yom Kippur? The Soher LaHashem. On Purim, Avoy El HaMelech Asher Lo Yechados. I'm going to go into the Chotzer HaPnimis. Purim is the Soher LaHashem. Lag BaOmer, which is the parallel part two of Purim, is the Soher LaAzazel. Just like on Purim, Esther said she came to the Melech Achashverosh and knew Havrachmanis. So what did Achashverosh say? Okay, I'll have Rachmanis. You could send out letters and send the letters out to the entire world. It takes time for the edict of the king to be implemented, to be nispashe to the world. The koyach of Purim, again, Purim itself is going lefnai v'lefnim. The soher la'azazel corresponds to Lag BaOmer. And by the way, what is Lag BaOmer? I told you before, what is Lag BaOmer? Hod Shebehod. We learned enough when we discuss what is Hod. Hod is the opposite of Dova. Dalid Vav He. Dalid Vav He means Anida. Say Toimalo. Tell the Avodah Zarah, get out. Dova will be called the Dova. What is Hod? Hod is the same letter as the opposite. Represents to bring out the sparks of kedusha from the tumah, from the part where there is least likely to find any degree of kedusha. It's the opposite. That is what hod is. You're dealing with something which is contaminated. It's the least likely place to find kedusha. Go in the opposite direction. Go in the other way around. Bring out sparks of kedusha. What is Lag BaOmer? Lag BaOmer is where. What was Rashbi? After he came out of the cave for 14 years, he was able to appreciate. But after in the cave for 7 years, he comes out. You're working?
It's 12 plus.
Sorry. After he came out of the cave the first time, you're working? You're not learning Torah? He gave one look, they turned into a pile of bones. They pulverized into nothing. He would go back in the cave. When he came out of the cave, he was able to see Kedusha. In the most mundane, that was the higher madrega, to see kedusha even in the most mundane activities. People go about their daily business. That is hope. The whole essence of Rashbi is you don't have to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to find kedusha. After you came out of the cave for the first time, it was the madrega of being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Malachim, kedusha, don't wear your shoes. When he came out of the cave the second time, he was able to see kedusha and go off the cliff. When you take the animal, you throw the animal off the cliff, or you fall off the end of the world, there's Kedusha there also. There's Kedusha wherever you go, there's Kedusha. That is what Ibn Ezra is saying. If you want to understand the Kedusha, again, it's not a complete, you have to think about this, you have to expand upon it and develop the idea. But what Ibn Ezra is saying is if you want to understand the soul of the Sol Azazel, when you get to 33, you'll understand. What day 33? When you get to 33 in the Omer, 33 in the Omer is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the match for Purim. What's Purim? Purim is a match for Yom HaKippurim. What is Yom Kippur? There's a Sol Hashem and there's a Sol La'azazel. Purim, v'chein avoy el ha-melech asher lo yechados. I'm going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But what about the Sol Azazel? Where do you have the Sol Azazel that on the Purim that matches the Yom HaKippurim? That's Lag BaOmer. Because Lag BaOmer is the second half of Purim. Peleg, Pei, Lamed Gimel. There are 64 days in between the two. There's a connection, there's a mystical connection between the two. And what's the connection? Because Lag BaOmer is where Purim is Kodesh Kodashim, Lefnai V'Lefnim. Lag BaOmer is Hoyt Shebehoyt. It's where you're able to go and fall off the cliff of Azazel, the place where it's least likely, it's hard like a rock, it's least likely to find Kedusha. Even there you'll find Kedusha. Even there you send an animal which represents Klal Yisrael, of course it's the Aton. There are sins upon the animal, but it represents the ability to bring out Kedusha. So I think this is a different type of idea to explain what the law is doing. It's raw, obviously, you have to work on it, develop it, but you have a lot of pieces of the puzzle here have been presented. Okay, now let's go to Parashas Kedoshim. Okay, there are at least two things I must tell you about Parashas Kedoshim. They're not so long. First thing is the beautiful word from the Reshulam. This is a gem. Okay, this word is a real gem. It says this Parashas Kedoshim, Tiyu Ki Kedoshim Yishem Kechem. What's the first mitzvah? Ish Imo the Aviv Tirahu V'yashab Sesai Tishmaru. What is the shaykhis between kibud, not kibud, yiras, aim, va'af, ish imo v'oviv tirohu, fear your mother and father, and also v'yashab sesai tishma, guard my shabbosos. First of all, one simple question, why does it say shabbosos in plural? It should say Shabbos. Throughout the Torah, generally speaking, whenever the Torah warns about Shabbos, Shabbos always in the singular. Always once, Shabbos. Shabbos, there's one Shabbos. We go through time, we come back to Shabbos. Why is Shabbos written plural? That's one kind of question. Number two, what in the world does fearing a mother and father have to do with Shabbos? So Rashi tells us that when I tell that just because I told you to fear Shabbos, let's say your parent says, my child, please be Mechal Shabbos. I want you to. You have to fear me. I'm your parent. Whatever I tell you, the Torah says, keep it up. Fear your mother and your father. If I want you to go to the store and buy me a grapefruit because I'm hungry, you have to go to the store on Chal Shabbos to provide my needs. No, the Esh Shab Soisai Tishmaru. Everyone is commanded to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fear of your parent does not override the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the simplest answer to explain the connection between these two psukim, and that's what Rashi says. The Reish Rav says a very interesting idea. What else do we know about? What else do we know about a parent? About fearing a mother, about a mother and father. We know that it's one of the two places, only in the Torah, where the Torah promises reward. Mm-hmm. A little bit differently. Not fear, but honor. Kabed es sovicha v'yasinecha. And all of a sudden, the Torah says, "Leman yarichun yamecha." If you will fear, you'll give honor to your mother and father. Fascinating. You'll live a long life. By all the other mitzvos, it doesn't say, no, except for shluch kan. But generally speaking, the Torah does not give you reward. Only when it comes to kibud av, "Leman yarichun yamecha." Okay, fine. So the Reish Rav wants to say that's exactly what the pasuk here is telling us. If you will fear your mother and father, okay, it's drush, not, this is not pshat, this is drush. Ish imo v'aviv tirahu, if you fear your mother and father, I give you a bracha. What's the bracha? You live a long life. And when you live a long life, v'esh shab sosai tishmoiru, you'll have many shabbosos in your life. It's a bracha that parallels leman yarichun yamecha. Ish imo v'aviv tirahu, if you'll fear your mother and father, you'll be blessed with many Shabbosos. But let's go further. Not finished yet. Why, when it comes to the midst of kibud, does the Torah say honor, kabed es avicha v'yasimecha, and then leman yarichun yomecha? You'll have long days. But when it comes to leman yitavlocha, leman yarichun yomecha, you have long days. But when it comes to fear, ish, imo, v'aviv, tirohu, the bracha is Shabbos. What's going on? So the answer is, what's the difference between honor and fear? Now Rashi makes it very simple. Fear period means don't sit in their place. Do not contradict their words. When they're speaking, you don't be quiet. There's certain, the code of conduct one must do, must conduct himself when he is the presence of a parent in order to show fear. Honor is to do something, it's to go forward and to give them clothing and food and shelter and so on and so forth. But even though it's true, simply, honor and fear represent actions, to do something or not to do something, That's the simple understanding, but it's really deeper. You can give honor to a person without any emotion. This is a parent. This is a person I'm obligated to give honor to. So, I have to do. It's a chefza de mitzvah. It's a chefza. A parent is a chefza. It's an object. I will provide their needs. I will provide shelter. I will provide food. I will provide clothing. Do I really love the person? Not necessarily. Yira is an emotion. You have to feel. Now, it's true. Rashi says that it refers to actions. But putting aside Rashi, the essence of fear is an emotion. Giving honor is something which comes out of love. Comes out of love or comes out of a certain feeling. The Torah is directly addressing what to do when it says the word give honor. When the Torah tells us about fear, it focuses on the emotion. Very different. Rashi puts everything in perspective and says, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is do this and don't do this. But look at the words of the Torah itself. Give honor is already the next step. Because when you love a person, or you fear a person, so then you give honor. Okay, fine. So do this. Give honor. Fear, Torah, I want you to have that emotion. Instill within yourself the emotion of fear. That's a very powerful concept. That's much more powerful than the instruction of give honor. Now, what's the difference between L'man Yarichun Yemecha and Shabsoisai Tishmaru? There are days and there are quality days. A regular day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, okay, it's an opportunity to do good things, to accomplish, to make a lot of money, to learn a lot of Torah, to daven two times a day, to make brachos. You can accomplish great things in a day. But Shabbos? Shabbos is special. Shabbos is a day of quality. It's a day of kedusha, sanctity. It's a quality day. When it comes to giving honor, the instruction is, what's the blessing? If you give honor, you'll have a long life. You'll have a lot of Sundays, a lot of Mondays, a lot of Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. A lot of regular good days. But if you fear your parents, you develop an emotion of fear, you'll have quality days. Shabsoisai Tishmoy, you'll be blessed with a life of quality, of Kedusha, like the Kedusha of Shabbos. So you have here two different places in the Torah where the Torah is promising reward. For honor, L'man Yarichun Yemecha. For fear, V'yashabsoisai, I'm giving you a bracha. You'll be zocha to observe many Shabbosos. What's the chilik between the Aseres Hadibros and Parshas Kedoshim? Parshas Aseres Hadibros, kavod, just go through the motions. You'll go through the motions, you'll have quantity. You'll have quantity of life. But if you don't go through the motions, you develop an emotional attachment to the mitzvah, to fear a parent the way they should be feared, you'll be zocha to quality life, not just a life of quantity. So this is the two that come together. Okay, one more vart. So this vart I find to be very, very interesting. This vart is off the beaten track. This is like a real chassidish vart, but to me, I like it. I can't speak for anyone else. Have you ever noticed that on Shabbos, Friday night, there's a difference between the Nusach Friday night, besides the general from the Rishon Esrei, in the part, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Ritzevenu Chaseinu Kashenu B'mitzach V'seinu Chayim Tzosach Tzalim V'yadach 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 V'yanuchu, what?
Friday night
it's Vah. Shabbos day it's Bo. And Mincha it's Bum. Bo, Bo, Bum. What's going on?
Because one is a man who rests, the other is a woman.
So there's a joke, right? The joke. So Friday night, the wife, she gets to rest. Shabbos day, the husband gets to rest. And Shabbos Mincha, they both rest. I don't understand the joke. I don't get it, okay? I don't get how it fits into our lifestyles where Friday night she rests and by day he rests. To me, it seems like no one's resting the whole day. But everyone's busy making trouble the whole day, so I don't know where it comes in, this ba, ba, bum. But it's, haloi dava, what is going on? Ba, ba, bum. Okay, next thing. It says in the parasha, Ish imo v'aviv t'yor v'yeshab soisai tishmar. So the darshanim say that the entire pasuk of drash na'alti pshat refers to Shabbos. There are three parts to Shabbos. The first part of Shabbos is Friday night, which is begeder, the mother. The second part of Shabbos is Shabbos day, is the category of the father. And Shabbos Mincha Shalosh Seudos is both the mother and the father together. I'll give you an example. Friday night, Chazal tells, what is the nature of a woman? The nature of a woman is Mishtaldol B'dvarim. The nature of a woman has the ability to speak Koyach HaDibur. Women have a Koyach HaDibur. And when they speak to the children, they have an ability to appease them, to speak nicely to them, to encourage them. A man does not have that talent. Men are rough. If you take note, Friday night there's a lot of avoda in the Shabbos that's in the category of mishtaldo b'dvarim. You come home, you sing Shalom Aleichem, you sing Yesh Chayo. You have a very elaborate kiddush. Yom Hashishi va'yichula. That's part of kiddush. Shabbos day you don't have that. Whatever you say on Shabbos day, only half the thing you have to say is Baruch Yagofen. You don't have all these things that you say. They're all additions, and that's not the Ikar Hadin. Ikar, but Friday night, part of Kiddush is you must say Vayere Vayvoke Yom Hashish Vayichulu Hashma. That is a very significant portion of the Kiddush. And there's Zemiros. Friday night is a time of Dibur with regard to Shabbos. Who does Halakas Neros Friday night? The Noshim. The night of Shabbos is Miyuchid. It's Shabbos that's Miyuchid for the woman. It's not for the woman, it's the nida of an isha in its relationship to Shabbos. Shabbos day is the nida of the zohar. And in fact, is the nida of the zohar. Shabbos by mincha is where they both come together. Now, there are different examples of this idea. For give you an example, when it comes to fear, which parent are you? Was the Torah address fear first? Mother. Ish imo v'aviv tiroh. When it comes to fear, who comes first? The mother. When it comes to honor, who comes first? Kabed es avicha v'yasimecha. What does Rashi tell us? Since Hashem knew that when people love to give honor to their mother more than their father, that's human nature. In order to compensate for this deficiency in men, Hashem said, give honor to the father. So father comes first. Being that people have generally, they fear their mother, father, more than they fear their father. So the Torah compensated by telling us, ish imo v'aviv tiro. When it comes to fear, the Torah addresses the mother first. When it comes to cover, the Torah addresses the father first. If you only have enough money to buy to be machadit Shabbos by night or by day, which one comes first? Shabbos day. The kavod of the Shabbos by yom comes before the kavod of the Shabbos at night. Why? Because Shabbos by day is the father. It's a Shabbos, the kedusha of the father. That's why it's called. It's the father. Therefore, by kavod, kabed es avicha v'yasimech. Friday night is begeder yira. That's why we say Friday night in Magen Avos. B'fachat. How does it go? Magen Avos. B'chai Meisim. B'mamro. Kol Hashem Shem Gemar Nich. B'yom Hashem Shem Kivam. B'sol Nich Lchem. B'fon of Na'avod. B'yiro v'fachat. The expression of Friday night is Yiro and Fachat. Who is Shaykh to Yiro and Fachat? Ish Imo. First, the Aviv Tiro. So Friday night is Imo. Shabbos day is the father. Shabbos mincha is they both come together. That's what this pasuk here means. Pasuk says ish, the whole pasuk. And where do we start with? What's the connection between ish imo v'aviv tiro v'yashab soisai tishmaru? What does Shabbos have to do with kibud av v'em? The answer is the entire pasuk lefi the drash is referring to Shabbos ish. Imo, Friday night, the Aviv, Shabbos day, Tiro. Okay, we're only focusing on Yira. It's true, this covered as well, but being that we're focusing on Yira, we focus on the mother first. And then when it says, V'yashab soisai b'loshon rabim, and I asked that question in the beginning, the first part, Shabbos soisai, two Shabbosos, that's Shabbos mincha. Shabbos Mincha is the combination of Friday night and Shabbos day. In the Zmiros, what does Friday night correspond to? Corresponds to Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak is Pacha Yitzchak, the meat of Pacha, the meat of fear. Yitzchak is Din. Shabbos day in the Zmiros, what does it correspond to? Avraham. Avraham is Chesed. Chesed is Shabbos day, that's covered. That is the father. And what is Shalosh Ludos? Yaakov. What is Yaakov? Yaakov is the combination, is the synthesis, is the proper blend. Too much chesed is no good. Too much din is no good. There has to be a balance. Yaakov Avinu is the balance between Avraham and Yitzchak. So Friday night is Yitzchak. Yira, din, begeder aim. Shabbos day is Avraham, begeder af. And that in Av together Chesed, and then comes Shalosh Sudos V'Yeshab Sursai. They both come together. The Ava year, the mother and the father. That's why it's plural. Both Shabbosos Tishmer Yushal God. That is Yaakov Avinu. So it makes perfect sense why you say Bo and Bom. Bo is the mother. Bo is the father. And Bom is both them together is Shabbos Mincha. This is a very interesting idea you take from this week's parasha. Ish Imel Viav Tirahu, to be aware. Friday night, everything Friday night relates to the feminine nature of Shabbos. Imai. Everything about Shabbos day relates to the masculine nature of Shabbos. Aviv. And Shabbos Mincha, Shalosh Sudos, is where they all come together. The mother and the mother, what is called Shalosh Sudos, and that's Suda Shalishit. Some say you can also call it. Other women are calling it Sudat Shlishis, the third Suda. But in Shulchan Aruch, it says Shalosh. The name of the simon Shalosh Suudos. So many of us say Shalosh. It's not Shalosh. Why is it called in the Shulchan Aruch Shalosh Suudos? When you eat the third Suda, you're bringing everything together. It's a famous part, and you see it here in this idea very well because V'yashab Soisai Tishmaru. Friday night you start out Yira. Come Shabbos morning, you go Haya Madreka, Ava. Come Shalosh Sudos, the third meal, you bring it all together. When you bring it all together, all three have now been put in their proper place, so it's Shalosh. Bo, Bom, Avraham is day, Yitzchak is night, Yaakov is Shalosh Sudos, and we have Ish Imo is Friday night, Aviv is Shabbos day, V'yeshav Sosai is Shalosh Sudos, all come together in this
little Jewish.
You're supposed to have some shalosh.
Yeah, why? You don't say both wheels off.